You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16, where we left off last time. Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey here if you can. If not, wherever you are, for America's praying and praising God. I teach the word first, and then we pray fervently for this country, which so greatly needs prayer. Amen. You're also invited to come here to my place every Sunday at 5 p.m. We start right at 5. I ask you to be on time because we are on the air for the radio taping here, and I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the produce place. The produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And I want to invite every one of you to come here to my place on August 4th at 6 p.m. for the marvelous Merson movie. It's 45 minutes. My twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson, has a marvelous supernatural gift from God. Scott takes pictures, and you can see into the spiritual realm. What you don't see now, his pictures show it. Angels and kind of scrolls flying through the air, just like Ezekiel saw. Now, Scott verifies every picture with the Word of God, and he calls his 45-minute movie Walking with the Word. And guess what? I'm going to buy you some refreshments. So come August 4th at 6 p.m. You will be blessed. And now, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. We began this chapter last time, and we got up to verse 16. And from God's heart to my heart to your heart, the title he gave us so far was, Don't Make God Divorce You. Jesus was talking about marriage, adultery, and divorce. But of course, there's always a deeper level. He was talking about if you say you are a Christian, then since Jesus is the Word, you are wed to the Word. You give your life to the Word. You would not ever miss a service where you could hear the real Word of God. Otherwise, you're not married to Him. And then you are to make that marriage complete. In other words, by praying without ceasing. And so if you do not give your life to the Word and you don't pray without ceasing, then you could cause God to divorce you. Now, the theme continues, however, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, give it all up for Jesus. Verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, other gospels tell us that this young man was very, very, very rich. Notice he said to Jesus, Good master, that's good. We'll find out why.
17. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good?
Now, he's not reprimanding him. Jesus' ears perked up. There's a reason that Jesus was happy that the rich young man called him good.
There is none good but one, and that is God.
Isn't that beautiful? Jesus realizes that this very rich young man knows that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, Isaiah 7:14. So far, so good. Now, Jesus answers this question because the man knows he's Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is good, so he answers his question.
But if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments.
Now, all of us know that we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. However, at this time, Jesus had not yet died for our sins. Jesus had not yet shed his blood to wash away our sins. And Jesus had not yet risen from the dead. However, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 are called the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God. So they had to have a moral standard. When God told them to keep the Ten Commandments, it means that you're keeping the Word, you believe in the Word.
Verse 18, he saith unto him, which?
Which one? Now that's good. This rich young man obviously is aware that there are 10 very special commandments in Exodus 20. So he says, which one?
And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder.
I love that translation, because many times it'll say, thou shalt not kill. No, the Bible says that in the military, when you're defending your homeland, your country, it's okay to kill the enemy. Or if someone breaks into your home to kill your family, it's good for you to kill them first. But murder is criminal homicide. It means you lie in wait. You plan to murder. So don't do that.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Now, of course, in the legal term with men or women, but we learned last week that adultery to God is idolatry. If your cell phone is more important to God, you've committed adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Don't steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Do not lie, because Jesus says in John 8:40-44, the devil is a liar and the father of it. So don't lie. Don't be like the devil.
Verse 19, honor thy father and thy mother.
Uh-oh. Now, some of you say, wait a minute. My mother and father didn't love me. They don't want me. They love the other brothers and sisters more than I, and sometimes they abuse you. Wait a minute. In the book of Ephesians, it says, if you honor your father and your mother, that you will get a promise of a long flesh life right here, right now. So, how do you honor a father and a mother that do not love you that much, maybe love others more than you, don't really want you, just kind of tolerate you? God has DNA in your father and your mother that he wanted you to have. Maybe he wanted you to have your mother's artistic talents, and maybe he wanted you to have your daddy's great brain. So honor them. Maybe you can't be with them. Maybe it's too discouraging. But pray for them, love them from a distance, and send them birthday cards. That's honoring them.
And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love your neighbors yourself. Now, you notice that Jesus left out 5 commandments, okay?
Verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet?
Now, the first 4 commandments that Jesus left out are found in Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. See, a cell phone could be a graven image. Okay. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't be empty about God. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath, Jesus became our Sabbath. So all 4 of those first ones means that God is first, God is first, God is first. But obviously, this rich young man did put God first. But there was another one that Jesus left out. It's the 10th one. Thou shalt not covet. Whew. You see that person over there with more money than you, more property than you, more businesses than you, more homes than you, more cars than you, more lands than you. You kind of want that? Uh-oh.
Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect.
If you'll be complete in Christ.
Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor.
Oh my goodness. Give it all up for Jesus. Woo.
And thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
Do you understand, for all of those of you who are saved, God's got a great big bank in heaven. And if you're saved, you have an account there. But some of you have never made any deposit because you're just watching the show. Some of you got a few little dollars in there because you don't give it all. I mean, Sundays, yes, but not Wednesdays. But some of you are rich. You might not be rich here, but you're going to be the richest at all. You see, every work for Jesus is a deposit in heaven. And Revelation 14 says the only thing you can send ahead are your works. How's your treasure in heaven? Got any deposits there?
And come and follow me.
Give it all up for Jesus. Deny yourself and do whatever he wants you to do. All the time, 24/7. Total obedience. Total surrender. All to Jesus I surrender.
Verse 22. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession.
Bless his heart. It's not wrong to be rich. Proverbs says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. But you know what I've learned? The more I get of anything, the more I have to give away. Every dollar that comes into my hand, I say, thank you, Lord. I tithe, not to my minister, to another ministry. I give love offerings, and I give the rest of the way to poor people. And you see, that's the richest of all. See, it's not wrong to be rich, but if you're not careful, the riches will have you.
Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you.
Of a truth I say unto you. That's what verily means. Truth, truth, trumpet of truth.
That a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Now, Jesus did not say that a rich man cannot get into heaven. It's just harder. Why is that? The more stuff you have, the more attention you have to give to that. If you've only got one home, you've got only one to take care of. If you've got only one farm, you've got only one farm to take care of. If you've got three houses, three properties, three farms, three trucks, you got to take care of them, and it's going to be pretty hard to give yourself to the word and prayer. Do you know what? If someone right now said, Sherry, I have some prime property on a very busy highway. It's 1 acre, and I'm going to give it to you and pay the taxes. You know what I would do with it? I would not build anything on it to make me money. You know what I would do? I would put a great big cross on that thing, light it up, and put a note there, Jesus died for our sins. It wouldn't make me any money. So see, whatever you have is supposed to be doing good for God. You've got this property. What is it doing for God? It's sitting there. You go there once or twice a year. You got these three homes. You got these gardens. You got all this. What is it doing for God? Everything in your life is supposed to bring glory to God. But you see, if you don't understand that, the property has got you.
24. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Now, he's not talking about a little sewing needle. It's kind of hard to get a thread through that sometimes, isn't it? What it was, the cities there had walls about them, and they had a big main gate. During the daytime, the citizens would get on their camels, that was their transportation, and go out the main gate during the daytime, and they would go and buy and trade and sell. Now, they were supposed to come back into the city before night, before the gate closed, so that they could take their possessions with them. But sometimes they would get so busy buying and trading, caring for the stuff, that they would get there too late and the main gate was closed. Boy, that camel can't get through that with all of that gold and silver they got that day. However, there is a way. They had a little tiny needle gate. It was either on one side of the main gate or in the middle in the bottom there. Now, they had two guards there. You had to be very small to get through it. The only way that the man with the camel and the possessions could get through it is to cause that camel to kneel down, because he's going to have to crawl through. But the camel's got all these great big bags of stuff on it, gold and silver. Now, the camel's got to kneel. He's got to be humble. In other words, you've got to realize that you cannot save yourself. Your money, your property, your fame, your anything cannot save you. Only Jesus. Humble yourself, you sin, and only Jesus will get you back to heaven and back. So you kneel, you're humble. Then the man has to unload the camel. All of those great big bags of gold and silver they've been buying and trading, got to dump them off. Give it all up for Jesus. Now, the camel can crawl through on his knees, and the man can crawl through on his knees, but the possessions are too big, so it looks like he lost everything. But you know, when you give it all up for Jesus, you lose nothing. Because I believe those two guards there were also citizens and friends of that man. So when daylight would come and the main gate would open, the two guards would package up all of that stuff and go and take it to the man. So you see, now you know, again, it's not wrong to have stuff. Just don't let the stuff have you. David had stuff in a cart. He left it. Ezekiel had stuff in a bag. We got Scott's stuff, you see, but stuff doesn't have Scott. Stuff didn't have David, and stuff didn't have Ezekiel. Understand?
Yes.
Verse 25. And when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?"
Because everybody who works with their stuff, they like to keep their stuff.
Verse 26. Then Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With man this is impossible."
Because you see, the more that you acquire, the more attention you have to give to that. See that property you've got bought out there? You've got to pay taxes on that. You got to take care of it when you should be praying and witnessing and going to church. In other words, the more you have. So it's pretty hard. The more you get, also sometimes the more you want. It takes your attention, and you have an affair with your possessions and your property and your money, and that's adultery, and you could cause God to divorce you.
But with God, all things are possible.
But God can so soften your heart that no matter what comes your way, it doesn't even move you. None of these things move you, for your heart is fixed. You're madly in love with the love of your soul. You give yourselves to the word and prayer, and not one thing in this world, not one cell phone, not one video game, not one date, not one property, not one job could ever keep you from giving yourselves continually to the word and prayer, because you don't want God to divorce you.
27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee."
That's true. The disciples had left everything. Peter had been a very successful, prosperous commercial fisherman. He had boats and he had nets, and he made a lot of money with that because everybody bought his fish. Peter also had a wife. That means he had children, and he had a mother-in-law. Remember, Jesus healed his mother-in-law of fever? Now, Peter did not even have a guaranteed income because he left his job, and he did not get to be with his family very much. It looks like he gave it all up for Jesus, but
what shall we have, therefore?
Now, Peter's not feeling sorry for himself. He's excited. He knows Jesus. He's got it figured out. If I give up everything for Jesus, there's something greater coming my way. I wrote a little poem. Did that door close? Turn around. God says, I've something more profound.
Amen.
Verse 28. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration."
Now, Jesus is talking about the second coming of Jesus, the regeneration. Right now, we're on the threshold of the Antichrist appearing. We don't know how long we're going to wait for him. His time, thank goodness, has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, to 5 months, Revelation 9. And then Jesus comes. So Jesus says, okay, those of you who wait for me then, that's called the day of the Lord, the beginning of the 1,000 years, all of us who are alive here, saved and lost alike, will change from our flesh bodies into our spiritual bodies, 1 Corinthians 15:52. But when Jesus comes, he's going to bring some people with him who have gone on before to teach in the millennium. They're called the Zadok, Ezekiel 44. And guess what? He's going to bring Peter and James and John and all the disciples and the Apostle Paul with him. And some of his very elect right here are going to be with him to teach during that time. What a great reward. Wouldn't you love that to be you? I don't know if it'll be me, but I sure hope so. In other words, wouldn't that be great to have that honor, to be right around Jesus? Read Ezekiel 44, the temple area, the Zadok, the ones who've gone on, you know, like Moses and David and all those, and these disciples who are alive then but not alive now, they're with God. They're coming, and the very elect right here now are going to be with him. That is the greatest reward.
Amen. Amen.
1,000 years with Jesus on earth, and we can go to him and talk to him, and he with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory.
In the millennium, read Ezekiel 44 on to the end. Jesus there, right here on earth. Jesus isn't flying away anywhere, right here.
Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
So Jesus says, Peter, James, and John, and all of you disciples, and I would say also the Apostle Paul, you're going to be sitting there. You're going to be a part of the Zadok. Obviously, there will be some that Jesus will bring back with him. But don't forget, we've got 7,000 alive, elect right now, who are also to be there. When it says judge the tribes, it doesn't mean to judge you whether you're going to walk into the lake of fire or whether you're going to heaven. It's talking about the teaching. There's going to be teaching during that millennium. All truth is going to be known there. See, there are two great judgment thrones. There's the great white throne of judgment. That will be the one at the end of the millennium for all who are lost. But then there's the judgment seat for the Christians, the Bema seat of Christ. All Christians are going to be judged for what you have done, not whether you're saved or lost, but what you have done for him after you got saved. So all who are the Zadok will be with him there and be the teachers. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
That's a great reward.
29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life.
Now, in the book of Luke, Jesus says, you must hate all of these things, father, mother, sister, brother. But hate in the Greek means love less. See, anything, anyone, any activity, any condition that you love more than the word and prayer, because that is God, you pray to him, that's how you get the marriage to be complete. If you love that, then you are not worthy for the kingdom of God. But Jesus also says another gospel, he'll repay you in this lifetime and the future life, heaven on earth. You lose nothing for Jesus. Now, I'm about to read verse 30. Verse 30 ought to be the very first verse of Matthew chapter 20. God's word is perfect, but men put the numbers in there. They put the chapters in the verse. So verse 30, while it kind of continues the theme of putting God first, it's going to go deeper. So we're going to move into a new thought. And then verse 30 is a prelude, an introduction for Matthew 20, and then we'll find out what God's heart is.
Verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Now this is talking about the first earth age, the world eon age that then was, 2 Peter 3:6. We have learned, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, that when we die, if the silver cord breaks, our spirit returns to God who gave it. We return because we were there with him in the first earth age. It was right here, the planet was perfect. There was no sin. There was no flesh. We're all our spirit bodies. There was no age. We're all created at the same time. The dinosaurs or the animals were in the flesh, but not the people. And everything was perfect. But in Isaiah 14, that beautiful anointed cherub, Lucifer, one day rebelled and said, I will be God. And one third of God's children, some of you listening to me, said, okay, I'll worship you, Lucifer. He's also called dragon, serpent, Satan, devil, Antichrist. And so one third followed him. However, Revelation 12 says there was one third there in the first earth age that got up first of all and fought that old dragon for God. They are called the first in Jesus' mighty name. Now, God has a lot of children. Okay, because of that sin, God did away with that first earth age and brought us into the second earth age, and that's why you're here. Okay, so the very ones that stood up first, there was a large number of them, and fought for God, are here at the last. Why? God can trust them. Now we're going to learn more about that in the next chapter.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart, the first always work in the vineyard.
Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who is an householder.
Now this is talking about Almighty God. He owns heaven and earth. He created this earth and it was beautiful and perfect at first.
Which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard.
Now, what happened? It was so beautiful and perfect, but sin in it, and we lost the vineyard. The walls were torn down. So that's when God said, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send you all in the flesh body. My son will pay your sin debt so you can be saved and come back and we can have the vineyard safe again. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us about the vineyard. The walls are broken down. They got the poison berries in it. But God says, I need people to go into my vineyard. Now, the day in this parable you're about to hear does not mean our 24-hour day. It's talking about from that time when God said, let us make man our image, when he made us in male and female and put us on this planet to either accept Jesus or to accept the devil. So, who are these very first ones at the early hour? That would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs. Why is that? He sent them out first to say, through your lineage, my son Jesus is going to come into the vineyard to pay your sin debt. So Jesus is coming through. So they were the first ones sent out in that one long day. Understand?
Yes.
Verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard.
Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, did not do this for pay. They don't care what he pays. You see, an elect doesn't ever say, I'm serving God for money. An elect gives his whole life away. He serves God because he loves God. They didn't ask for anything, but they served him. Thank goodness for them.
Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour.
Now the third hour would be about our 9 a.m. Okay. First of all, we got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, 9 a.m. Who would this be? Moses, Samuel, Deborah, Huldah, David, Elijah, Elisha, these great people. Through King David's lineage came the Messiah, Jesus. This comes after Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, about 9 a.m.
And so others standing idly in the marketplace.
Now, when he says idly by, he does not mean they were lazy. Everybody who's been sent out that he's talking about was standing at the gate of heaven. Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Because, see, an elect wants to help. An elect says, yes, 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 I'll fight for you, God. So when it says idly by, it means that David and Samuel and Moses and all of those were standing saying, okay, Lord, we're waiting our turn. So every time it says idly by, that means these ones were waiting their turn. So it's 9 a.m. So they came.
Verse 4, and he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way.
They didn't care about the money. They didn't do it for that. You see, all of that give everything for Jesus. Nothing held back.
Verse 5. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour.
Now, the sixth hour would be about 12 noon in our day. Okay, remember, he's getting everything ready so that he can come back and have his second return and have heaven on earth. The 12 nooners would be, let's see, who would that be? The great prophets, Isaiah, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, Joel, Amos, Nahum, Malachi, all the great prophets saying, people, the Messiah is going to come. Be prepared for him. Now that's the sixth hour. That's noon. And then there's the ninth hour. That's about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Who would that be? These disciples, Peter and James and John, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Paul the Apostle and John the Baptist. Okay, now they came a little over 2,000 years ago. We're studying their works, are we not? Yes.
Yeah. And did likewise.
They said, okay, we'll work in the vineyard. No money required.
Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out.
Oh, the 11th hour. We are now in the 11th hour. Revelation calls it the hour of temptation. It's not a literal hour. It is the hour of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation of the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes before Jesus, but he looks like Jesus, talks like him. Two horns of a lamb, but he's the voice of a dragon. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. We're the threshold of that now. It's about time for him to come. We don't know how long, but we know he's coming very soon because the political system, the Antichrist, communist, socialist, Marxists are already on the scene. So that is the 11th hour. However, God had some people not too long ago standing idly by in heaven saying, send us, send us, send us. All of God's elect, men and women who are alive on planet Earth right now, who are going to face the Antichrist, are now the ones sent out at the 11th hour. And you can be 12, or you can be 112. You can be 16, or you can be 116. The very elect alive right now are the first. Now remember, there was one-third, Revelation 12, that got up and fought for God. There were a whole bunch of them. We've been naming some of them. But there were those who were the leaders and said to the rest of the first ones, come on, let's fight for God. Right now we're saying, come on, America, let's take our country back. Amen. See, there have to be leaders in the very first. And the first are last here. Why? Because God can trust you.
Amen.
I mean, all the others have it a little bit easier. They don't have to face the Antichrist. But the very first ones of those first said, come on, Abraham. Come on, David. Come on, Moses. Come on, Paul. Come on, Peter. Let's fight for our God.
Amen.
And those are alive now. They're called the very elect. The Amen. First are the last because God can trust you.
Amen. And found others standing idle.
We were all standing there waiting our turn.
And saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Verse 7, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us.
You haven't sent us out yet, Lord. We're racing the bits to go. We were, you know.
He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.
They don't care. The money doesn't matter.
Verse 8, so when even was come.
Now even will be after the Antichrist comes. Remember, his time shortened. That will be at the seventh trump when the Lord Jesus comes back. It's even time. Now, okay, we went through all of that from the Garden of Eden all the way through the very elect time now. And it's almost time after the Antichrist. Here comes Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
The Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire.
The book of Revelation says that when Jesus comes, he's bringing rewards with him. In other words, he's going to reward you for the labor you have done.
Beginning with the last unto the first.
Why does he begin with the last? Because they were the very first ones in the first earth age. It blessed God's heart. When his elect said, God, we're not going to put up with this. We're going to help you take your kingdom back. And it makes him so happy that right now there are 7,000 elect alive on this planet. It doesn't mean a literal number, it's a spiritual number, who are not going to bow the knee to Satan. He could trust you then, and he can trust you now. So he starts giving you that reward.
Verse 9, and when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny.
You see, anyone who works for Jesus is not concerned about being better than anyone else. We humble ourselves like the camel. We stay on our knees. Some of us even scrub the floors, although we are aged. And we do all of this because we love God. We've given it all up for Jesus. Don't make God divorce you. Give it all up for Jesus. And the first are always working in the vineyard. We'll begin right there next time. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed after that. Thank you, Miss Sherry.
Absolutely.
You.
I'm blessed, too. I got mine, and you get yours,
yes,
okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we learned that David left his stuff in the car, because he could put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Oh.
Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Luke 10:2.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Perfect. We did not collude. The Holy Spirit
Amen.
Gave you that. Great, Scott. Work for the night is coming
Amen.
When man's work is o'er. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But if you're not saved, we're in the 11th hour now. You need to get saved. Stop your nonsense. Give it all up. Let's pray this prayer, mean it, and God will save you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have sinned.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I stop.
I'm sorry.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Please baptize and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Please baptize, fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Teach me how to pray.
Teach me how to pray.
And use me.
And use me.
To build your vineyard.
To build your vineyard.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me.
Set me apart for holy use.
Set me apart from holy use.
I confess with my mouth. That Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you out there, our friends out there in cyberspace, you need to tell someone. Paul tells us in Romans, confession is made to salvation. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, you'll hear my telephone number, and I ask you to call me and leave your confession of salvation on my voicemail. Say your name clearly, and I will pray for you. Now, I'm going to pray for the sick. Today, I feel led to pray for people suffering with high blood pressure. Precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, you said in Malachi chapter 4, to those who fear your name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Lord Jesus, you are the Son of Righteousness. I ask my Lord that right now, wherever that blood pressure is getting too high, I ask you to cause that blood pressure to come down, 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 down. 140, 130, 120, Father God. Not too low, not too high. Make it just right in Jesus' mighty name. And we ask, Lord, that all of the illnesses that are caused by high blood pressure, that you would heal. Heal heart disease. Heal hypertension. Heal nosebleeds. Heal fatigue. Heal the headaches. Heal the bladder and kidney disorders. In the name of Jesus, divine order in the blood pressure. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing is given you to keep, So go and tell and give it away, and God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, whether you know it or not, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
God bless you. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. on 91.5 FM and WMIE FM and also SoundCloud. I want to invite every one of you to come to my place in Suntree, Florida on August 4th at 6 p.m. That'll be a Wednesday for the Marvelous Merson movie. My twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson, has a marvelous supernatural gift from God. Scott takes pictures, and the pictures reveal what's in the spiritual realm. You can see angels, and you can see scrolls flying through the air like Ezekiel saw. Now, Scott verifies every picture by the Word of God, and he calls his movie Walking with the Word. It's about 45 minutes. And guess what? I'm going to serve you refreshments. Now, my place, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, is in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside the produce place, which is owned by Scott Merson. The produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. So come, the Marvelous Merson movie by Scott Merson at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, on August 4th, 6 p.m. I love you and God bless you.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM. We'll be right back.
voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life, and one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire, one Lord, one King. There is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Jesus, the one true God. One man on the cross, and one light of the world, one name, one word, one way to be saved, and one lamb that was slain, one love above all. There is no other that can compare to you.
From heaven to earth, our Savior came. For us on a cross, He bled and died, and from the cross to an empty grave, he rose to life, he rose to life.
We're listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Among us, he
is love.